from D. James Kennedy Ministries. This is Kennedy Classics.
Hello, I'm Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Welcome to Kennedy Classics. Be sure to visit our ministry website at djkm.org, where you can find a great collection of digital, audio, video, and print resources. When we speak of discernment, generally, we are talking about the ability to comprehend someone or something even when the circumstances or the information needed to make a judgment might not be apparent. In fact, might even be somewhat obscure. People who have discernment often are able to look past the more obvious perceptions that are available to all and reach a more nuanced and deeper understanding. In many cases, such discernment is largely a function of personal experience. For example, if on more than one past occasion you've seen a particular event transpire in a certain manner, experience helps you discern what the outcome might be next time. So as a practical matter, the longer we live, the more we are able to discern through experience. But in some cases, experience alone is not enough. In some cases, words which have always had a mutually agreed upon understanding have been stood on their heads. In our day, discernment must rest upon a far more profound and trustworthy foundation. Here is Dr. D. James Kennedy with his message, Discerning Good and Evil.
Our scripture lesson this morning is found in the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. Solomon, the son of David, has just ascended to the throne of Israel. Being yet a young man, the pressure and the anxieties that must naturally come upon a person when confronted with such a responsibility have no doubt landed upon his shoulders. And he is crying out to God for help. I hope you'll note very carefully that for which he prays when God offers to do whatever he will for him. May we hear the inspired word of God. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing, and God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And may God speak to us today through his holy word, and may his name evermore be praised. Amen. In recent years, we have read and heard a good bit about the fact that we are involved in this country in a culture war. Well, having examined that issue at some depth for many years, I certainly would have to agree with the commentators who put it that way. It is a war. It's a war for the minds and souls and lives of every American. And it has been going on apace and growing in its intensity. It is ultimately a battle of faith against unbelief. And you may hear it described in many other ways, but I want you to remember that's what it really is. It's ultimately a battle for God or against Him. I want to talk to you today about three of the most crucial, critical terms that are being used and have been perverted, transformed, and changed into something altogether other than what they really are, and used to deceive the American people and to forward the attack against God and Christ and Christianity in this country. I hope you'll remember these words. You might even want to write them down. The first one is relativity. That's a word familiar to us all. Alan Bloom of the University of Chicago, in his blockbuster book entitled The Closing of the American Mind, in the first sentence of the very first part of that book, he says this: there is, quote, one thing a professor can be absolutely certain of, almost every student entering the university believes or says that he believes, that truth is relative. And the students believe one thing, and that is a big lie, that everything is relative. There are no absolutes. There is no moral truth that is absolutely true. There's no truth of any kind that's absolutely true. And that has led to all kinds of other evils as well, which moves us to the second point that I would like to discuss with you, to show you where that has gone from there. And the second word is the word tolerance. Now, all of us know what tolerance means. Tolerance means that you put up with or bear with people who hold to views or beliefs or values or lifestyle that you don't agree with. And if you're a Christian, or for that matter, even a gentleman or a lady, you will bear with them graciously and kindly. Even though you disagree with them, you will try to be tolerant and kind to them. This is what tolerance means. Not anymore. It, too, has gone through the Department of Truth. It has been crushed and smushed and spread out until it means something entirely different. And if you have a father and a teenage son discussing almost any moral subject today, and the subject of tolerance comes up, which will very frequently lead into a heated argument, the reason is they're not talking about the same thing at all. The father is talking about tolerance as it has been known for centuries. The son is talking about what Josh McDowell and Hotstetler describe in their excellent book, The New Tolerance, which I recommend to all of you. They're talking about the new tolerance the child is. And what is the new tolerance? The new tolerance is that we are not only to put up with and bear with others who have differing views and values and habits and lifestyles and beliefs than our own, but we are to accept those beliefs, those values, that lifestyle as absolutely equal to and just as valid as our own. The new tolerance. You have to accept all of their values, all of their beliefs. So you see, therefore, you haven't got any religious beliefs that are any better than anyone else's, since, after all, everything is relative, and since your beliefs are not any better than theirs, and since your moral views are not superior to their moral views, no matter if they're a little more than an alley cat in their sexual lives, you cannot indeed impose your views upon them, which flows out of that. You must accept not only them, but you must graciously and kindly accept their lifestyle, their beliefs, their habits, as absolutely equal to your own. And if you don't, you are an intolerant bigot. They want not only your glad acceptance of all of their views, lifestyle, beliefs, and values, and habits as equal with your own, but they want you to participate in what they do. They want you to endorse it and to participate in it. The third term, beside relativity and tolerance, is a one that we're all familiar with. Discrimination. Discrimination. Well, what shall we say about discrimination? Let me ask a question. Is discrimination bad or good? Let's see. How many would say discrimination is bad? May I see your hands? How many of you would say discrimination is good? Well, that's very interesting. I think it's about 50-50 or thereabouts. Well, today, in the modern understanding of the word, things are changing. Now, the fact of the matter is, discrimination may be either, so you're all right. Discrimination simply means to distinguish between several things, especially to distinguish between things that are similar. In fact, the matter is, in a definition of acumen, which means mental clarity and intelligence, that acumen is to be able to nicely discriminate between several things. In fact, I remember years ago reading that one of the sure signs of high IQ was that a person with a very high IQ could discriminate between two similar things that people with a lower IQ could not discriminate between. Did you ever hear of a person having a discriminating palate? If you want to be the food critic for a newspaper, you better have one, or you're not going to have a job. If you want to be a wine tester, you better have a discriminating palate. If you buy a can of mushroom soup, you will devoutly hope that whoever picked those mushrooms had at least the discriminating ability to tell the difference between mushrooms and toadstools. But you see, though racial discrimination has long been understood to be wrong, there are few people, I suppose, in this country today that would try to maintain that that is good. And we have seen gender discrimination outlawed and condemned, even age discrimination. But you see, they again have taken a word and they have smeared it into areas in which it never was intended. The truth is, the only people they really want to discriminate against and rule out are Christians. That's the people they want to get rid of. You. They will tolerate anything but those who have beliefs in dogma and absolutism. Who said that? The United Nations Declaration on Tolerance. They tolerate anything. But you see, Christianity is an absolute religion. God is the ultimate absolute. His word is absolute truth. His Son is the absolute divine Savior. So Christianity is an absolute religion. And its dogma, or teachings, as the word means, are absolutely true. So who is it that the United Nations is turning their guns on when they say that they will not allow for dogmatism or absolutism? And that is intolerable to the UN. Dear friends, if you don't know it, those guns are pointed right at you. Discrimination is bad in the cases that we mentioned, such as racial, gender discrimination, but now they want to move it to everything, to good and evil. You'll notice that in our text today, Solomon prayed to God and he asked God to grant to him an understanding heart that he may discern between good and bad. Now, the word discriminate comes from a root, discernere. That is from the root, cernare, which means to discern. Therefore, the word discern is the word from which discriminate comes, and they both mean virtually exactly the same thing. So, Solomon is praying that God would give him an understanding heart and the ability to discriminate between good and evil. Now, if he had prayed that prayer today, the ACLU would be all over him, if he had done it publicly. And therefore, this cannot be allowed. Furthermore, since God said that he was very pleased with what Solomon had prayed, and he answered his prayer so that Solomon is known 3,000 years later as the wisest man that ever lived, as he gave him the answer to his prayer, God is guilty, according to the neo-postmodernists of our time and their views on zero tolerance for any kind of discrimination. But God, we too need to pray that God would give us an understanding heart and the ability to discern between good and bad, between good and evil. Discrimination. Discrimination is the difference between a garden and a jungle. Just plain and simple. Discrimination is the difference between music and noise. The difference between barbarism and civilization is discrimination. It is vital that we are able to discern between the bad and the good. But you notice it is the bad and the good, not the black and the white, the old and the young, the male or the female. It is the good and the evil. And the ability to discern between the two and to choose the good is what makes civilization. And when that ability is lost or pounded into the mud, as it's being done daily in our schools, eventually the society will degenerate back into the jungle. And that's what's going on in our country today. But it's time for Christians to get out of the bleachers and onto the field and get involved, or there may be laws passed which are going to have consequences that are going to come home to roost right in your family and in your home. And all kinds of pressures to pass those laws are being put upon us all of the time. Consider this. A school administrator says, "It is the mission of public schools not to tolerate intolerance." That's their purpose. Now, they will tolerate people coming in and shooting up the classroom. They will tolerate an epidemic of drugs. They will tolerate alcoholism. They will tolerate promiscuous sex. They will tolerate illegitimate children being born to children. They will tolerate blasphemy of every sort, but they won't tolerate anybody who will not accept all of the views and beliefs and values of everyone else. And also Leslie Amour, a philosopher, professor at University of Ottawa, said, "Our idea of a virtuous citizen..." What is your idea of a virtuous citizen? His idea is that it is one who tolerates everything except intolerance. It has historically been held for 4,000 years that a virtuous citizen is a person who believes in God, a person who believes in morality, who disbelieves in immorality and ungodliness, and who lives a life of virtue and morality, and does his best to maintain these things in the society in which he lives. But no longer. This virtuous citizen may be a criminal. He may be a drug addict. He may be an alcoholic. He may be a thief. He may be a pervert. He may be a child molester. He may be any of these things, but as long as he is tolerant and objects to intolerance, he is all right. It has been well said that the last virtue of a degenerating population is tolerance. When people no longer live up to any of the moral values that made society great, the last value they hang on to is tolerance. They demand that everybody tolerate their wickedness, and they will tolerate theirs. The last value of a degenerate society. May we pray. Father, we thank you that you are at work, that your church is growing mightily, and that more and more people are being changed, and we believe that America is going to be transformed. Oh God, help us to prevent the forces of evil, of ungodliness and immorality, from passing laws that are going to force their views upon our children and upon ourselves. Until that day when the voices of godliness and decency will once again prevail in this nation. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our King. Amen.
I hope that you're one of those voices for godliness and decency that Dr. Kennedy was talking about, and that today's message has encouraged you to continue to advance the cause of Jesus Christ. But perhaps you're watching today and even agreeing with much of what's been said, but you don't know the one who died so that you might have life to the full now and forever. I'm speaking of Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty for our sins with his own shed blood on the cross at Calvary. He paid a debt for us that we could never hope to pay, and he offers us the free gift of eternal life if we transfer our trust from our own efforts to get into heaven to what he has already done for us. You can receive this gift by faith today by praying this prayer with me, saying, "Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner and that I've sinned in thought, word, and deed. Please forgive me. I want to receive the free gift of eternal life and place my trust in you alone. Help me to follow you so that I might live a life pleasing to you from this day forward. In your name I pray. Amen." If you just prayed that prayer, we have a special gift that we'd like to send you. It's Beginning Again, the book written by Dr. Kennedy for new believers. In these pages, you'll learn how to grow as a Christian, as you learn how to read and study the Bible, and so much more. It's our gift to you when you write to our address or call our toll-free number. And be sure to ask for Beginning Again. God bless you as you do.
In the years since he delivered that message, Dr. Kennedy has proved to be prophetic. More and more, a false notion of tolerance is offered as normative. Yet closer analysis shows that it is actually intolerance. It is nothing more than a rhetorical tool designed to silence those who refuse to jump on the bandwagon of political correctness and moral relativism. In fact, there are numerous Christian ministries that have been designated hate groups by the powerful Southern Poverty Law Center simply for upholding and defending a Christian view of marriage and gender. The SPLC has enlisted in the culture war on the side of the secular left, but they pretend to be an objective clearinghouse of information. Their designation of hate groups is often accepted without question by the media, by schools, and even by law enforcement. D. James Kennedy Ministries is completing a production on a television documentary exposing the phony work of that organization. It's called Prophets of Hate, the Southern Poverty Law Center. And we will send you a copy on DVD as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 1164, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll free 888-332-3069, or go online to djkm.org. This important program will show how the SPLC has filled its coffers with money while falsely equating true hate groups like the KKK or the neo-Nazis with Christian organizations like D. James Kennedy Ministries, the Family Research Council, and the Alliance Defending Freedom. We will send you a DVD copy of that vital program in just a few weeks, as soon as it's completed, as our thanks for your donation to the work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 1164, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 888-332-3069, or go online to djkm.org. We at D. James Kennedy Ministries are committed to following in the footsteps of Dr. Kennedy, standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Kennedy Classics. We'll see you next time.
Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.